We've been studying the Holy Spirit the past few Sundays. I appreciate the comments I have gotten. And I think the lessons on our website on the Holy Spirit have been downloaded quite a bit. So we are having an impact on people outside our community as well. We've talked about who the Holy Spirit is. What kind of work does the Holy Spirit do? We've talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about miracles in the first century as being a sign of the Word, a confirmation of the Word. Today, we're going to look at one of the most commonly held beliefs in the religious world, a belief held by millions of people. It's one of the basic beliefs of those who follow Calvinism, that particular system of belief started by John Calvin 500 years ago. And that belief is that the Holy Spirit operates directly, apart from the Word, on the sinner. And that this must happen before that sinner can be saved. Also, it's believed that this is done in a miraculous way, that the Word has nothing to do with this, that the Holy Spirit, again, miraculously, directly, has to do something to the sinner's heart in order for him to respond to the gospel. And it's this that gives the sinner the power to become a Christian. So, is this taught in the Bible? Is this direct operation the Holy Spirit taught in the Bible? Because that's what's important. Does the Holy Spirit lead men directly apart from God's Word in an entirely separate way? Because it's a very, very important question. Many of our religious neighbors believe this. So it's our obligation, it's our responsibility to know what God's Word says about it. Not what other people may say or not what we may have heard on TV or the radio, but what does God say about it? The first thing we know is that God's Word is very clear that Christ possesses all authority. We see that in so many, many different places. But we know He possesses all authority from the Bible. And we know that that authority manifests itself through the Word. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, a very familiar verse to all of you, I'm sure. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, gives us some insight at the very beginning of this lesson about this topic. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Well, let me read verse 16 first. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And what's that word supposed to do? "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, with that, turn over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Keeping what was said in mind back in Colossians chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Now, Paul, by inspiration, the Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul. And this is being written down for our benefit, so we know it comes from the mind of God. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God," comes from the mind of God, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I'm going to ask a series of questions to get us thinking about then what does the Holy Spirit do then to the sinner's heart apart from God's Word? Now let's think about that. If the Holy Spirit has to do something, supplies something to the sinner's heart for him to respond, then Paul was incorrect in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that the Scripture, all Scripture, thoroughly equips us. Thoroughly equips. It is, as it says, sufficient. What does sufficient mean? That's all you need. So what would the Holy Spirit supply to the sinner's heart? Well, if he supplied anything directly to the sinner's heart, then Paul was incorrect. Then the gospel, then Scripture, isn't sufficient to do what it says it needs to do. If the Holy Spirit has to give some knowledge to the sinner directly, miraculously, then the Bible doesn't have all knowledge. If the Holy Spirit has to give that individual additional knowledge. So therefore, the Word would not be sufficient. But yet Paul said it was, and Paul was inspired. Something else to think about. How would one know when the Holy Spirit was operating in some sort of non-miraculous way? How would he know if he was operating in a miraculous way? How would the sinner know that? By feelings? Nudges? Visions? That's something we have to think about. The Bible claims for itself that it's all one needs to respond to the gospel. That's what the Bible claims for itself. It's very clear, very obvious. That's what the Bible says about itself. Nothing else is needed for that. So we either believe that or we don't believe it. If we don't believe the Bible is sufficient, then the Holy Spirit would have to supply something to the sinner's heart, give something to the sinner. Knowledge, whatever, so he could respond. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that is all we need. We do not need the Holy Spirit operating separate from the Word, apart from the Word, in a direct manner on my heart, on the sinner's heart, to help us respond. We would not even know the Holy Spirit existed, would we, if the Bible didn't tell us He did? How would you know the Holy Spirit existed if God's Word didn't say the Holy Spirit existed? Would there be any way to know that? Of course not. And what if the Holy Spirit directly, miraculously did something to one person's heart so that they would respond to the gospel, but didn't do it to someone else? Would that be fair? No. The Bible says God's no respecter of person, right? Acts chapter 10. I think it's verse 34, but Acts chapter 10 says God is no respecter of persons. But people who believe that the Holy Spirit operates on sinners' heart believe that the Holy Spirit only operates on certain people's heart. And when they say that, they mean, everybody that I've ever known or read, means that that is a miraculous, direct event, process, operation. And that the sinner cannot respond to the gospel unless that happens. But it doesn't happen to everybody, they claim. So that would certainly make God a respecter of persons. In other words, he wouldn't be fair. So let's go a little further and look at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit operates, acts, functions in the conversion of sinners. And then we'll talk about the sanctification of saints. There's a big difference between the Holy Spirit doing, and you've probably heard this before, something to you as opposed to doing something with you. Now, we know this in everyday language, don't you? There's a big difference between me doing something to you and me being doing something with you. Huge difference between those two things. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit does stuff with us, things with us, but not to us. Most of us in here, I'm sure all of us of a certain age, know that it's through the Holy Spirit we are born again. The Bible makes that very clear. It's through the Holy Spirit that we are born again. Let's read, if you're still in 2 Timothy, just turn over a page or two to Titus chapter 3. Notice verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Notice how the Holy Spirit working has to do with saving us. So does the Holy Spirit do that in some sort of direct, miraculous way on my heart so that I can be saved? Well, what does the Bible say? That's the only thing that's important. What does the Bible say? How is that accomplished? What does the Holy Spirit do? What does He use to bring about my salvation? Well, I don't have to guess. The Bible tells me. A few more pages over in your Bible, James chapter 1. We're told what the truth is. James chapter 1, notice verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. Says, of His own will, this is talking about the Father, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Okay? We are born again. The Holy Spirit brings that new birth about. But what does the Holy Spirit use to bring that about? Well, verse 18 says, it's the word of truth. The Holy Spirit uses the word of truth to bring that about. So we don't have to guess how that new birth is brought about. The Bible tells us. He uses the word of truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. I know that's the truth because back in John 16, Jesus said so. John chapter 16, verse 8. He's in the upper room not long before His crucifixion. He's with His apostles. Notice what He tells them in verse 8. You know, He's talking to His apostles about sending the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as an advocate, what He was going to do for the Holy Spirit. Notice what He says the Holy Spirit's going to do in the world. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when He, the context is the Holy Spirit, has come, He will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin. So, what does the Bible say is the way the Holy Spirit does that? How does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin? All we have to do is look in the Bible. How were people in the Bible convicted of sin? Let's look at the first gospel sermon, Acts chapter 2. Verse 37. How does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin? Verse 37. This is the day of Pentecost. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How were those people on Pentecost convicted of sin? It says, now when they heard this. Did the Holy Spirit have to operate directly, miraculously on those people's heart? No, it says when they heard this. Heard what? the words of Peter and the apostles, where did those words come from? The Holy Spirit. First part of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So is the Holy Spirit talking through, speaking, using those 12 apostles on the day of Pentecost to convict the world of sin? In a miraculous, direct way on sinners' hearts? No. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted of their sin. So when Jesus said in John 16, verse 8, that the Holy Spirit convicts the worlds of sin, He was absolutely right. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word, the Gospel, to convict sinners of sin. So does the Holy Spirit play a role in the conversion of sinners? Absolutely. And He uses an instrument. Paul told the church in Ephesus that instrument was the sword of the Spirit, right? The Word. So that's what He uses to convict the world of sin. He still does that today. We have faith today. How? Through the Word. How's repentance brought about? Through the Word. Baptism? Through the Word. When you look at the examples of conversions in the sin of sinners, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, we saw that. Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans. How did the Samaritans, how were they convicted of sin? Philip went down and preached to them. They were convicted of sin. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, how was him and his family convicted of sin? Through the preaching of Peter. That's what the Bible says. That's how the Holy Spirit convicts sinners of sin. The Holy Spirit doesn't operate directly on the sinner's heart, does something for the sinner apart from the Word. That is not what the Bible teaches in any way. It's the Gospel that's the power of God unto salvation, right? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. That's what the Bible says. So what about saints, Christians? We've looked at how the Holy Spirit operates on the conversion of sinners. What does the Holy Spirit do for those of us who are Christians? Saints. How does the Holy Spirit sanctify us? Well, let's begin by looking at John 17. These are the words of Jesus, still in that same setting of John 16. But John 17, verse 17, reveals something to us very, very important about the Holy Spirit's function in the sanctification of saints, of Christians. You've heard this verse many times. What does Jesus say? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So how are they going to be sanctified? By truth. By the word of truth. So what was the Holy Spirit going to do? The Holy Spirit was the one that inspired the word. So the Holy Spirit was going to sanctify saints. How? Through the Word. That's His sword. That's His instrument. That's what He uses. So He doesn't directly operate on a sinner's heart. But He uses an instrument, sword of the Spirit. Brother Hardiman, when he was taught at Fried Hardeman for years, use that example, and I don't remember the example completely, but I remember part of it, where he said there's two ways I can put my hand on this table. He says I can put it on and touch it directly, or I can get this, put my hand on the Bible and put the Bible on the table, and I can do it indirectly. He says that's how the Holy Spirit operates on people's hearts and minds, is indirectly. The Holy Spirit doesn't touch my heart in some sort of direct, literal, miraculous fashion. He uses the influence of the Word. So it's not miraculous. It's not direct. But He sanctifies us. He sets us apart by the influence of His Word. And He continues to cleanse us, continues to sanctify us, purify us by His Word. How do I know that? Well, His Word tells me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what He says in verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. How does the Spirit do it? He says, by obeying the truth. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't touch my heart in some sort of direct fashion, miraculous fashion. He continues to edify, exhort us, Acts chapter 20, through the truth. Acts chapter 20. Paul is talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Notice what he says the Word is able to do. So now, brethren, these are words of Paul, by inspiration, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What does He use? The Word of His grace. To do what? Build us up, give us an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So He uses that Word, the influence of that Word. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't come down and nudge me or push me or do anything to me directly. There's no indication of that anywhere in the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit has to operate on my heart in some sort of direct fashion. It's through the influence of the Spirit's Word that that's accomplished. Some want to, even in the church, talk about a direct, non-miraculous operation of the Holy Spirit. If you start in Matthew chapter 1, go all the way through Revelation 22, you will never find one example in the New Testament of a direct, non-miraculous operation of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit operated on someone in the first century, truly operated, it was miraculous. So when people want to talk about some sort of direct, non-miraculous operation of the Holy Spirit, there are no examples in the New Testament. They have no place to go to say, here's what was done at this city or that city. It's just not there. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit today, He doesn't directly work or operate on the sinner or the saint. What are we to do? Well, as we end, we'll end with James chapter 1, because James chapter 1 tells us, we read verse 18, says that we're brought forth by the word of truth. We are born again by the word of truth when we hear it, obey it. Notice verse 21. He says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. By the teaching of that word, by the receiving of that word, by the obeying of that word, we are able to save our souls. It doesn't say when you receive with meekness the implanted word and the Holy Spirit operates on you, then you are saved. That's not what that verse says. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that or even hint at it. We have to put that into the Bible if we believe it, because it's not there. It does say, when we receive with meekness the implanted word, that's able to save our soul. And that's how the Holy Spirit operates. Not in a direct, miraculous way on the sinner or the saint, but He uses that influence of the Word to bring about the conversion and the sanctification. He's speaking to us, but not directly. He's speaking to us through His Word that He inspired. He inspired all of those writers. And those writers tell us that we're born again when we obey that gospel, when we obey the word, and we are baptized, immersed in water. We continue to be cleansed when we walk in the light, when we continue to confess our sins as Christians. We are cleansed. Those are the words of the Holy Spirit. And those are the words that I want to listen to, and I hope those are the words you listen to. And if you need to respond, I encourage you to respond to the words of the Holy Spirit. To come and become a Christian, to be born again, or to confess your wrongs and ask for forgiveness. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.